Good morning, and welcome to the Mental Breakdown Morning Show. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
December 2nd is today's date.
Friday?
Friday, December 2nd.
First Friday.
Yes, first Friday.
You're downtown tonight.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Downtown Lakeland has
right.
some
first
things.
First Friday.
Mm-hmm. Today's podcast is sort of wrapping up a lot of the things that we've talked about. And over the course of the week, we've kind of progressed towards the possible inevitability of, you know, if your relationship isn't working, if things continue to go poorly, we're now today where we try to figure out how to have amicable separations.
Right.
Because, again, the rate is between 50 and 60% that relationships end in divorce. And so I think it's important that we spend a little bit of time talking about, okay, so what now? How do we separate? How do we uncouple? How do we handle that in a way that's going to be in each of ours best interest, but also, you know, if there's kids involved, in the kids' best interest.
And children, right, right.
So one of the things we'll talk about is this idea of discernment counseling, right. And something we call here pre-divorce counseling. Where, you know, you work with a therapist, you work with, and it's not so much a therapist as it is more a mediator, mm-hmm. somebody to sit down with you and help you through the process of uncoupling, of separating in a way that's going to work in the benefit of both individuals.
And I wish more people would take advantage of these kinds of approaches. I don't mm-hmm. like to call them therapies. It's
right.
more of an approach to divorce. Because after all, 50 or 60% divorce rates,
right.
you know, one out of two marriages is going to end up in divorce. And as we've said all week long, that the relationships have a tendency to gradually unravel, sometimes
right.
slowly and sometimes quickly. We've talked about after 3 or 4 months of living together, being a couple after marriage, or even after living together, you begin to find out that maybe you're not as compatible as you thought you were, mm-hmm, that your mm-hmm. sex drives are a little bit different than they used to be. One of the things that a friend of mine would always say, and I think is good advice, is during the dating and the engagement phase, that's the best mm-hmm. that your relationship is going to be. It's never going to be this good again,
right.
because other things are going to begin to interfere and intercede.
Right.
We've talked about the effect that children have on a
right.
relationship.
Right.
So there are many forces inside and outside of relationship that tends to pull partners apart.
Right.
Okay. And so if you reach that point, I mean, yesterday when we were talking about how do you know when you need couples therapy mm-hmm. and how do you know when it's too late? Okay?
Right.
So you may reach that point where I think it's too late and perhaps we should consider, you know, we talked about the frustrated father
right,
on
right.
Wednesday. When, if he's going to consider ending the relationship,
right.
How should that be done?
Right.
And discernment counseling gives us an approach.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah. And so the idea is to sit together and talk about how to uncouple in a healthy way,
right.
By resolve, you know, saying, you know, this is the issue that you have, this is the issue that I have, you know, and now as we look at the landscape in front of us, you know, these are the things that you need to resolve, these are the things that I need to resolve, you know, and this goes beyond just the maybe the financial aspects,
right.
you know, who takes care of this credit card? How do we handle, you know, any joint mm-hmm. Accounts and those
right.
kinds of things? It goes a little bit beyond that because what I like about this idea is that there are reasons that the relationship didn't work out.
Right.
There are reasons that lie within each party. And so let's have a conversation about what didn't mm-hmm. work for the sake of future relationships.
Right.
You know, you're going to try to be in another relationship or right. you will likely be in another relationship in the future. So what went wrong here so that you can prevent it from going wrong in the future?
That's right. Right.
And what better way to know that than from the person who had a problem with what you were doing?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So you have these conversations as part of your your separation so that you better understand yourself,
right,
for future relationships, but also so that you have a better understanding of where the other person was coming from.
Right.
Again, it's not therapy because you're not going in there with the idea of fixing anything, but you're going into it with the idea of how do I better understand what happened so that I can better address it in the future.
That's right. It's really, really, we acknowledge that it's incredibly difficult to admit what you might have done wrong.
Right.
I mean, none of us want to feel that way.
Right.
But believe me, everybody does something wrong.
Right.
Okay. What discernment counseling does is it helps you to understand mm-hmm. what your contribution was
right.
to the dissolution of this relationship.
Right.
Okay. That's a very positive aspect of the uncoupling process is that you can learn from your mistakes.
Right. Absolutely. And so there's a few other things though that we would like for you to consider, and I think that it's important for to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when entering into the process of separating and everything, and these especially hold true if it's related to the children, if you have children, and that is, you know, before you decided to separate, before that ultimate decision was made, mm-hmm. the two of you worked jointly, in good ways and maybe not right. so good ways, but you both worked together and made decisions together, and you left the children home with him when you went out, and you allowed her to make decisions as it relates to different things in the house, and allowed, you know, of course it's in quotations, but what I mean is you didn't significantly oppose,
right.
you didn't prevent him from watching the kids on his own, or you didn't prevent her from making some decisions as it relates to whatever's going on in the house. But yet, so many people, as soon as you decide, okay, that's it, we're going to separate.
Right.
Now, I don't trust him to be alone with the kids anymore.
Right.
Well, what changed in the past week? Right. How did that change? Because last weekend, you left him home alone with the kids all weekend.
Right.
But now, all of a sudden, you don't trust him. We get into this is when relationship decoupling becomes adversarial.
Right.
It becomes confrontational. It becomes competitive. It becomes aggressive sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, all of a sudden, we want what's ours, and we want to give them nothing. And that's a really dangerous, I think, position to put yourself and your
right.
soon-to-be ex and your children, if they're involved. That's a very dangerous position to be in, because now all of a sudden it's adversarial.
That's right. And one of the things we always tell people is, even after the divorce,
mm-hmm.
now you have to get on. You have to put this behind you,
right.
go through the grief process, put it behind you, and get on with your new life.
Right.
And your new life is you're not going to be with this person anymore.
Right.
So go ahead and uncouple and get on with your new life. But you can't, that's going to be very difficult to do if you've had this very adversarial
right.
breakup where you continue to argue about things even after your divorce.
Right.
The reason you got divorced was to stop arguing.
Right.
So stop arguing.
Right.
Okay. Get on with your new life. However
right.
it's going to be, get on with your new life.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, whatever it was that made the relationship not work, that's
right.
done now.
That's
okay, we're not in a we're not going to be in a relationship
that's
anymore.
Right.
Okay,
that's
so
right.
that part is done.
Mm-hmm.
The issue now is that especially if you have children, you will forever now be connected to that other person, whether you want to be or not.
That's right.
And so, what we know from the research is that you know, the biggest thing that people worry about with relationships is the effect it's going to have on the kids.
Right.
Well, what we know is that kids turn out best, the best outcomes for the kids is completely dependent on the behavior of the parents after the divorce.
Absolutely. Right.
If the parents can get along, if they can, you know, what I always say is that, you know, even though you're not in a relationship anymore, you still have to be allies. You still have to work, because you're still working with the common goal of making things, helping your kids have a good life. Mm-hmm. And if you see your ex as an adversary, as a dangerous person, or as a person that, you know, just wants to take what's yours,
right,
that's not going to bode well for the children, or for anything really after the separation, because it's just adversarial, it's just competitive, it's just right. going to be conflict ridden for the foreseeable future, because now we're going to, you know, we're going to go to court over every little thing. We're going mm-hmm. to argue. We're going to, you know, we're going to have a divorce, which could, you know, feasibly take a month or two to go through. Now we're going to stretch it out for 3 years right. because we're going to have custody evaluations mm-hmm. and we're going to have psychological evaluations for everybody. And we're going to make sure that, you know, this person is safe for the kids and that person. You had disagreements and that led to right. the separation. Okay, that's fine. Let's move forward. Mm-hmm. Let's move forward and say, okay, he's not a danger to the kids. Right. Unless he is, unless there's right. some reason, yeah, you know, there's right. abuse or something like that. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, you know, if you've never, if nothing like that has ever happened before, why introduce that idea mm-hmm. now that we're separating?
Right. And you're going to fall into one of three categories. If you don't have children, if right. a couple, you can separate completely. There's no reason. You don't even ever have to speak to each other right. again. You never have to see each other, communicate with each other. You can cut all ties with right. that person.
Right.
If you have children who have already left the home
mm-hmm.
in college or married, having their own families, it's a little bit more difficult, but still, you don't have to have much to do with right. each other because the kids are gone.
It would just However, be the big things, graduations, right. marriages, those things.
That's right. You still have to go to weddings together. You still have to go to baptisms. You have to go to family events, life events. Then there's this third group where you have young children who still are going to be living at home right. for a while. That's a whole different challenge, okay? Right. Because as you just said, divorce or not, you're still connected.
Right.
These children are going to keep you connected, and you have to learn how to work out that relationship.
Absolutely.
We said in an earlier podcast this week on Wednesday that it's not a good idea to stay together just for the children right. because you're going to model behaviors that you don't want them to learn.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing if you're divorced. If they see you constantly fighting, name-calling, blaming, mm-hmm. Taking you to court, talking to attorney, they're going to absorb that. They're going to internalize those behaviors, and they're going to treat, there's a likelihood that they're going to treat their spouse the same way. Okay.
Right.
So be very, very careful about how you act and talk post divorce.
Right.
If you have children around.
And again, it goes back to, you know, that kids are much more aware than we think that they are.
Sure.
And so, you know, if you're separating and it's a volatile divorce, and you say, "Oh no, I don't talk to my attorney or do any of that stuff around my kid," the kid still knows.
Kids know. Mm-hmm.
And I think it really is amazing to me how much so many parents really believe mm-hmm. that the kids have no idea what's going on. Right. I mean, certainly there are kids who don't know anything that's going on, but the vast majority are keenly aware. I mean, they know. Right. If he says, you know, "Hey, Mom, we're not doing anything today. Can I go hang out with Dad? Dad wants me to come over." Right. And Mom says, "No, you're not going over there. It's not his day. No, you're scheduled to be here with me." "Well, Mom, I'm just sitting in my room."
Right.
"And you're doing other things."
Right.
"We're not doing anything. Why can't I go?" "No, it's my scheduled time. It's, right. you know, you see your dad on the weekend."
Right.
He's going to interpret that as Mom is keeping me from my dad.
That's right.
Well, why wouldn't he interpret it that way? And so we need to be able to work through these issues in a way that allows the kids to be secure, to feel mm-hmm. to feel safe, stable, and avoid issues where the kids are having to choose, where they're having to make decisions about one parent over the other parent,
right?
Because that is so potentially damaging mm-hmm. To kids. So many parents that you just. So many parents just don't understand the damage that does to kids. The idea of kids testifying about right. who they would prefer to live with, that
no
that child. Affects their psyche so much. Right. that it's just a shame that that happens.
No child should ever be put in the position of choosing one parent over another.
Right.
Just shouldn't happen. This is, you know, we often say, if you get divorced, you're trading one set of problems for another set of problems. But we don't even need to use the word problems. We can say challenge. If you stay together, it's going to be challenging.
Right.
If you uncouple, it's going to be challenging.
Right.
It just depends on which challenges you're ready to assume.
Right.
You're going to have them one way or the other.
Right.
If you stay together, if you separate, you're going to have challenges. You just have to choose which ones you want.
Right. And it's all in the way in which you manage those challenges.
Right.
You know, there's what I like to say, there's adult ways to manage those challenges, and there's adolescent ways to handle those challenges. And hopefully, as adults, we can make adult decisions, and we can say, you know what, this isn't working.
Right.
And since this isn't working, we need to end it, part ways. And here is the best way for us to do that. You know, kind of take as much of the emotion out of it as possible, and have a logical discussion, a logical consideration. And you know, we have lots of attorneys who listen to the podcast, and we work with a lot of really skilled and smart and insightful attorneys. But a lot of times, attorneys in the legal system makes it more complicated, because, you know, in situations where, you know, attorneys will make recommendations that from an adversarial perspective is in your best interest, but it doesn't have to be adversarial.
Right.
An attorney is going to tend, many attorneys are going to tend to see things from an adversarial perspective, because that's what attorneys do. Attorneys help resolve legal conflicts.
And they represent the client.
Right.
I'm going to represent your best interest, financial, time sharing, whatever the issues are. I'm going to do all I can to get you as much as I can.
Right.
But that's an adversarial relationship.
Right.
The legal relationship is an adversarial one.
Right. Because
by nature.
Because that is their goal. And remember, when your attorney makes recommendations for you, it is in your best interest from the attorney's that adversarial type perspective.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right decision. There are lots of times where the attorneys will say, nope, you know, that's the dad's scheduled time, so that should be the only time the dad sees him. Because from the attorney, that potential legal perspective, you don't want to set a precedence for the dad having extra time. Because if the kid is doing really well with the extra time and enjoying the time with the dad, then that puts you sort of behind the eight ball as it relates to making arguments about, you know, certain time-sharing considerations. Mm-hmm. Well, that's... Again, if it's going to be adversarial, if it's going to be that kind of conflict-ridden separation, then that is in the best interest of you and your attorney. But
if you want to get along,
but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's in the kid's best interest to have a flexible schedule to see the father.
You have
when
to
he
remember
to.
That this is your divorce, not the attorney's divorce.
Right.
And the attorney can give you advice and make recommendations. But you have to decide. And I know couples who have said, the attorney said, you're entitled to this. And the spouse will say, I don't need that.
Right.
It's okay. And that should be something that is agreeable to both you and your attorney.
Absolutely.
And if not, you may want to find another attorney.
It
is your divorce. You have to live with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe more importantly, your kid has to live with it. And you don't want to set things up to be more conflict ridden than they have to be.
Right. There's going to be plenty of conflict to go around. Don't invite more.
Conflict that has nothing to do with the kid. So you need to just remember that. Remember the goal and purpose of the attorney in these kinds of situations, and make decisions that way.
Right. And I wished as a culture, as a society, that we had better methods of uncoupling. I know that some Jewish friends of mine have gone through a divorce, and they have a process in the Jewish faith to uncouple. We have in Christian churches, we'll have what are called prenuptial classes or pre-Cana conferences, where we learn how to be a couple. We learn how to be, you know, what we need to do to have a healthy marriage. I wished we had similar classes mm-hmm. when you want to uncouple.
Right.
Because there are gentle, peaceful, right. amicable ways of doing it. And it's especially, doesn't matter if you don't have children.
Right.
If you don't have children, just shake hands and walk away.
Right.
But if you have children, there are amicable ways
yeah.
to have divorce. And,
absolutely.
And I wish we could do more in helping couples to get through. It's a painful, painful process
right.
When you have children. It's painful for everybody.
Absolutely.
But there are good ways. There are healthy ways to do it. And there are, like you say, there's the adult way to do it, mm-hmm. and there's the adolescent way to do it.
Right.
So
yeah. So all right. So hopefully that's not the case for you. But if it is, you know, certainly take into consideration some of those thoughts. If you begin to look mm-hmm. at separation as the most realistic opportunity or option
right.
for your relationship, and really, really sit down and talk and consider these things so that you can do it in the healthiest way possible.
That's right.
That's going to be in your and the kids and
right.
each other's best interest.
Yeah, if you're going to stay together, do it well. If you're going to get divorced, do it well.
Do it well.
Okay? There are better ways to do things.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, we'll be going on to some other topics, some other issues that we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. But for now, we have our big podcast that will be published or posted, I guess is the right
word,
tomorrow. And in that one, we're talking about what happens in relationships when mental illness is involved. And mm-hmm. this is, we haven't even touched that topic
right.
at all over the past couple weeks. So we're going to hit that one tomorrow. But that will wrap up our 2 weeks on
right.
on relationships. So hopefully it was helpful and insightful for you, and you can take some of the nuggets that we kind of threw out there and use them to have a happier, healthier relationship
right.
with your significant other. So,
right.
all right. So that's it for the week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy mm-hmm. enjoy the weather, and we'll see you next week on Monday.
Yep.
All right.
Yes. Well into December. We will be coasting into December by next week.
It'll be the 5th
yeah.
of December.
Wow.
So. All right. So until then, have a happy one, and we'll see you Monday.
Good day.
Bye-bye.